gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, now what are we going to talk about, as I said? Now that Mitt Romney's campaign is over, what is the point of even showing up? Oh, well, all right. Can we have, maybe, you know what? Don't you feel like we should have, like, a putting him out of his misery, like, early election? Just, now I'm feeling bad. Now I'm kind of feeling in my helper mode.
I just want to give him a hug.
I just wanted to spit on my hands and fix his hair last night under that awful emergency press conference lighting.
He doesn't need 47% of the people to win. Come on.
There's no time for good lighting.
Freeloading losers.
For the panic last minute late night press conferences.
Yeah.
He just looked shell shocked, didn't he? Just what?
But
I was not saying anything embarrassing. What are you? I love this press for the campaign's person. Governor Romney has always said no, not exactly like
no,
that.
Yeah, no.
All right, we've got to have joining us from the current news center. We have to have Jackie in the fort for this. Because, you know, didn't you think we already got to several of these moments? Like, oh, well, that's the campaign ending moment there.
Pop himself at every turn, huh?
We thought last week with the Middle East that was it. Okay, no, wait.
Wait. And I love how he doubles down every time he messes up.
Right, so we can see more Butch, so he doesn't seem like a flip-flopper. Yes.
I didn't mean to say they were victims. I meant to say they were losers.
Wow. Wow, Jackie Schechner.
I don't know how you bounce back from that one. I mean, talk about the October surprise in September. Huh?
Yeah, wow. I mean, it was just, I don't even know. And like I say, for me to say that his hair looked bad, that means that's what the real career, I mean, that's all he had left was good hair.
He's running out of feet to shoot himself in.
He forgot, like, the color. He forgot to mat it down. I don't know what happened. It was, what time was that, Jack? I don't remember what time but I was like, what? Oh, he's having a press conference now? What's happening?
Well, as you know, I was asleep.
Right, so was
but
I.
From what I understand. Let me just say,
my news she means
sources on the interwebs tell me it was 10 o'clock Eastern last night.
She
which
means
is always the key time to hold a press conference.
She means that we all go to bed at
stupid o'clock.
Not that we sleep together. I don't have any idea. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying that we all go to bed really early, not together. Okay, just clearing up. Now, Jackie Schechner, what, he seemed to be like he thought it was all fixed after this, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really, if you asked me to be his advisor today, I'd say I don't know.
STF?
I don't know. I don't know. Let's sit this one out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know when, I love when, you know, like your friends and family members, like my sister called me at like 5 o'clock this morning. I'm like, I know. I got it. She's like, oh my God, did you hear what Mitt Romney? I'm like, yes, I've got it. I know.
You know, there's a quote from a Reuters article, a friend of mine posted it on his blog, which is how I found it. It's a white 52-year-old Southern Baptist from Virginia who makes $28,000 a year and believes that Barack Obama is secretly Muslim.
Yeah, I did this yesterday.
Did you do this?
Yeah.
He says he's going to help the upper class. He doesn't know everybody, everyday people. I mean, when you lose that constituency.
Right. The paranoid white Southern Baptist. When you've lost her, I mean, and she thinks Obama's a Muslim, I'm going to vote for the Muslim. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just eliminating entitlement programs. It's that he doesn't fundamentally believe anybody needs them.
Right.
I mean, that's what's so extraordinary. And it's not just people who are below the poverty level. He doesn't understand what it means to just be a normal, working, everyday American.
But, and the other thing, Jackie, is this, you know, once again, it's not a gaffe, right? I mean, he has said this before. If you want free stuff, vote for the other guy. Why do they keep missing?
We're
entitled
into
to it.
Because we pay into it.
It's not free stuff.
Right.
We paid into Medicare.
It's an insurance plan.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we're not handing out socialized medicine, free health care, and saying when you retire we give you money that came out of the magic thin air tree. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is money that we in our social fabric as a society allow for people who are getting older to afford things like living expenses and medical care.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much more
a unicorn that farts glitter.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, we all need one of those.
I would prefer a leprechaun that farts gold dust. If I had my druthers. But, you know, I just like free anything. All right, let's. You know, in the olden days, kids, when the whole family would gather around the old-timey radio?
Yes.
Let's do that and listen to it together, shall we? Here's Mitt Romney. at the fundraiser.
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what.
Wow. Mitt Romney talking about who's entitled. Who's acting entitled?
Wow.
I consider myself inherently selfish that I would like to have health care and a roof over my head and food. But
the stuff that I've already paid for.
By the way, who's asking the government for free food?
I think he means like food stamps.
Oh, food stamps.
Yeah,
I see.
That sort of thing.
Okay. There's so much that some of the stuff was kind of overshadowed by that original comment. But did you see the thing about he went, oh, my parents were born in Mexico and certainly would be helpful if I could
Hispanic.
Be Latino.
I have that.
Oh, wow. No. Okay, listen to this.
Had he been born of Mexican parents, I'd have a better shot at winning this, but he was not. Born of Americans living in Mexico. They lived there for a number of years. And I say that jokingly, but it'd be helpful to be,
Can I just tell you how familiar I am with rich person Republican country club laughter?
That's why he thinks he's funny.
Yeah.
No.
Did you hear everybody saying he was so loose and ad libby? This is the real Mitt.
That's his crowd.
This is his crowd where he's that, and that's exactly what they think is funny. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this. By the way, did you get this, Jackie? It was that secret footage was filmed at the estate of a sex party throwing hedge fund manager.
Hello.
He's known for his Caligula-like parties.
Yes. Wow.
He's the Stephanie Miller of hedge funds.
The house where this was filmed was at the house of this guy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, Mark Leader.
Oh, I did not get that little tidbit.
Yes.
I'm falling behind in my news gathering.
Listen, I've got some ideas for my party this weekend. Okay, from the New York Post, at the Bridgehampton home that Leader rented for a whopping $500,000 a month, guests cavorted nude in the pool and performed sex acts while scantily clad Russian women danced on platforms.
Wow.
Dancers at the party also twirled flaming torches to booming beats.
You don't want to do that when you're naked.
My main point is, why has Jackie Schechter never done that at my party? She is a well-known majorette, and yet I've got none of this in my
naked fire baton routine. Yeah. Let's get that back out.
Oh, God.
No, the dancers weren't naked, Jackie. We're not disrespecting
you. The Russian women were.
No, we're naked in the pool. You're fully clothed, but just with your baton. Let's get it straight.
Oh, God. Oh.
So, I love this. So, to review, people who want housing, food, and health care, entitled freeloaders. People who want to get HJs in the pool while they watch semi-nude Russian dancers, campaign supporters.
HJs?
I don't know what
I think we all know what an HJ is.
All right, close enough. So, do they recover from this, Jack?
Where do you go? And the thing is, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks to, by the way, Jimmy Carter's grandson.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Isn't it awesome? I'm in love with James.
Wait a minute, what? I missed this.
Jimmy Carter's grandson has been doing Republican oppo research for fun because he just likes it. And he found the video on YouTube. He connected the anonymous user with David Corn at Mother Jones. That's how this video got exposed, because it was recorded back in May.
I see.
And the Ohio Democratic Party tweeted out, basically said to James, come to Ohio, you can start work today. Which is great.
Maybe he just got a little bit tired of the Romney campaign going, is it worse than Jimmy Carter?
Be careful when you win the soul.
Yeah, he shouldn't poke the Carters with a sharp stick, apparently.
What I don't understand is it really that Mitt Romney doesn't understand the camera phone concept? I mean, does the campaign not understand that there's no such thing as behind? Maybe he and George Allen should have a conversation. At some point, people have to realize that an entire political career can come down to a recording of something that's allegedly behind closed doors. I mean,
closed doors anymore.
No.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, well, haven't I learned that the hard way?
I was going to say, we all have a sex tape to show for that one.
What? Oh, Jackie really? Schechter? I'm sorry. What did Jackie Schechter say?
I'm going to look for that online right now.
Stop it, Jim.
Just kidding.
All right. I don't know what did he exactly say at this press conference? They literally, it was like I don't even know how many minutes of just kind of humming.
Yeah.
Wasn't there also a quote in one of the videos about not wanting to expose Ann Romney too much so people don't get sick of her?
Yes, too late. Yeah, there was, right, he said he noted they're limiting the activity of his wife. We use Ann sparingly right now so people don't get tired of her. Ooh,
oh,
a little trouble in paradise?
Wow.
I hope to find a husband one day who says those things about me.
We're using Jackie sparingly. She's like frankincense or myrrh.
Well, that must mean they focus grouped Ann Romney, and Ann Romney must not have done very well in those focus groups.
Really? Oh, not very warm or relatable?
I love you women.
And I love this part. He said he decided to turn down an appearance on Saturday Night Live because he said it has the potential of looking slapstick and not presidential.
Yet he approved.
Your campaign couldn't look much more like an SNL skit already.
Yet he approved Clint Eastwood doing that thing at his convention.
Yes, that's comedy.
Wow.
Republican comedy.
Wow.
Do you think they're scrambling today to figure out how many more of these there might be?
Well, we were saying even the Politico piece is that's like a postmortem, right? You don't see now this whole this like everybody throwing everybody under the bus, and it's not my fault, it's his fault. It's Stewart. It's Stewart's fault, moron. I mean, it really was like the postmortem you saw after the McCain campaign, wasn't it?
Yeah, that it was really an obit. I mean, that was the big conversation. It's like, why this kind of article? Why now? It's before even the first presidential debate, and it did seem like the manuscript for the movie they show after it's over. It's Game Change.
I was just gonna say the screenwriter of Game Change is already furiously throwing away the new script. They're trying to think of a new spin on a name that doesn't sound like Game Change.
Right. Yeah.
Game over.
There we go. Game over, man. Game
Jackie
over.
Jackie Schechter with the tip in at the buzzer. Game over, man. All right.
His new running mate.
All right. We're officially having too much fun now. Jackie, go back to work, for God's sake.
I am.
To seem fair and balanced. All right. Love you. Miss you already. See you at the top of the hour.
I'm going to go hang out with my 47% pizza. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye, honey. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, sometimes I get this feeling deep down inside, and it says,
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, I think we guilted Jackie Schechter into baton twirling at the next party.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Naked baton twirling?
I'm making a list already. Russian dancers. Where do you find those? Scantily clad Russian dancers? I don't know where you get that.
Along Fairfax.
Oh,
yes, seriously.
Perfect.
There's a whole Russian area down
stand
there.
Stand around any Ruski magazine.
Yeah, you can get Fairfax and Santa Monica.
Anything you need in L.A. if you take Fairfax.
That's
trust
right.
me on this. 1-800-STEP-1.
Video.
Were you good matzo ball soup?
Fairfax.
Thanks. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to, let's see here, Mary in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. You keep saying that Romney kept saying victim.
Yes.
Well, I think what he really meant was maybe 99% of the people. I live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it would be African American people that are already on welfare,
right,
that already get food stamps, health care, everything else for free.
Sure.
Mm. Okay, but you keep
just
throwing on the word victim.
You know the majority of people on welfare are white people, right?
Well, you know what? What's the percentage that make up black people in this world? 12%? What is it, 8% are in jail?
Oh, I see.
Wow! Mary, that's horribly racist.
No, it's not.
Okay, explain yourself, please.
At least they're not taking food stamps because they're mostly in jail.
They're in jail.
Mary, come stay with me on this. So most of them are not on food stamps or welfare because they're in jail, right?
And they get free meals there.
Well, you know what? But who knows?
What about your freeloaders?
Baby mamas, they're the ones collecting.
Oh my goodness. You know, Mary, perhaps Chicago is not your best choice of place to live.
Montana might be better.
Wyoming.
It's the facts, isn't it?
No, Mary.
Yeah. No, it's not.
The vast majority of people on welfare are white.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I have a son who needed emergency surgery, mm-hmm. okay? And he's out of a job. He gets a very small unemployment check, okay? He went.
So he's living off the government teeth.
Maybe you can get food stamps. They offered him $13 a month. What's he going to do with $13? Well, I go to the store. I'm counting everything. Mm-hmm. Then you see.
So you're saying the government's not giving him enough. But he didn't give it.
Because they're giving it all to black people.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Your local, over here in Chicago, the welfare office, you go to any one, I would say 95% would be black Hispanic.
So you're saying your son's not getting enough welfare because...
No,
why?
He's not even
the
on welfare.
Well, he's not getting enough food stamps because why?
No, why bother? He told him, you know what? Forget about it. $13? What am I going to do with $13?
So, okay. But your son, who presumably is white, I'm just guessing, right?
Yes.
You didn't marry a black man, right?
No.
Oh, I can't imagine you would.
I just was checking.
No.
Well, what if your son fell in love with a black girl?
I don't think that would happen.
No? Well, I'm sure not. He's probably been raised.
Happen.
Well, he hasn't met Aisha.
No. Okay. It's got nothing to do with being racist, anything.
It doesn't have to do with being racist when
you said most black people are in jail? That's just not how it is.
It's not how it is that you're racist, even though you think the vast majority of black people are in prison.
Well, you know what?
Obama's in a big house. You're right.
Do a poll of how many prisons are in this country, and let's count heads.
Count heads?
Your son, you think black people take too many handouts, but your son went to get a handout.
You know what? The unemployment office said. They told him to.
Uh-huh. What do black people have to do with that?
Well, gee whiz, I go to the grocery store. I'm counting things like I said. You got people, and the majority are black. Their carts are filled. And you know what? They go in the parking lot. So they got Cadillac Escalade.
Wait, so black
they
people are eating too much food?
Cars.
But wait a minute. Black people are buying too much food?
You know what? You get off the subject.
Well, they got to fill up the Escalade.
You brought it up.
Well, why? I don't understand the point about them having full shopping carts.
They're buying too much food.
They're buying too much food.
You can't
buy
Cadillac Escalade. They're not paying
no taxes.
Okay. Mary,
they're not paying any taxes.
Yes, they are. They pay sales taxes.
What are they paying for?
They pay sales taxes. They pay gas taxes. They pay a whole lot of taxes.
Oh, they pay sales taxes.
Yes.
But they're not,
they're not getting a paycheck.
They're getting free health care.
None of them? None of them are.
Wow.
I'm really sorry we're out of time. No black people have a paycheck. Well, they don't need it because they're all in prison. Wow! Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She is difficult. Anywho.
Let me tell you another thing about all those black
guys. I'm sorry, Mary in Chicago. Is something else?
Yeah, there's the guy. They're driving around in their Cadillac Escalades full of food that they bought with the food stamps. Well, my son got $13.
Huh? All right. Well, that was. We just talked to the last remaining Romney supporter, Mary in Chicago.
Hey, that guy Obama. You know what? I'll tell you what. That guy should not be driving around an Escalade full of food like that when he should be president.
You know what? I bet you she's going to find John from Amherst on Tea Party Harmony.
Yes.
And that's going to be a love story.
So we're full of black guys.
Magic. Oh, John previously told us the mortgage crisis was caused by...
Black guys. Oh, here's a room full of black guys.
To review, if you've just tuned in, Mary said that most black people are in prison.
Yes.
Which was a little... kind of destroyed her argument that all of them are on food stamps.
Which they wouldn't be getting in prison.
They drive their Cadillacs and buy entirely too much food, and that's why her son could only get $13 in.
They don't actually eat the food. They just like drive around in their Cadillacs
full of
food.
Just to rub it in your face.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's my Escalade full of food.
And I got $13. What am I going to do with $13?
Mary's son's got $13.
I won't even buy me a coffee at Starbucks.
The Twitterverse has taken to calling her Road Flare Mary.
She does sound like she's...
You know what? I'll tell you what.
There's not much greeting or salutation, because you know me, I'm very perky. I'm like, good morning, Mary.
Yeah.
Hi.
Let me get right to my point.
She should have a debate with your sister, Mary. That'd be interesting.
All right. Oh. My equally
opposite
perky sister, Mary.
Be, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Political spectrum.
Do we have Tea Party Harmony? We need to. You know what? Mary, we all need love. Maybe that's all she's missing, Jim.
Mm.
A little affection. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
I have Red Data Stone.
No,
that's different. Okay, let's go to Oh, it's the John and Pam show. Let's talk to John and Pam in Ohio, and then we'll. Yeah, there we go.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam show.
Good morning, John and Pam.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, sweetheart. Oh. I really hate to follow that comedic act you just had on there.
That's tough.
I don't know what to say.
I know, right?
But,
how much do I love my job? I love it.
Thank God you're back. That's all I can say, honey.
That's the Mitt Romney supporter that's left, I guess. That's it.
Well,
people that understand exactly what he meant and agree, I guess.
I think the village needs their idiot back.
Yeah.
47% of us are blood-sucking ticks.
Well, that's why I'm calling, and then John's got to say something real fast, so I got to talk fast, and you know that's going to be a hoot. No, what really ticked me off, I've been up ever since. I finally went to bed this morning a little bit after 3. My Facebook wall blew up.
Yeah.
I had so many haters, I lost friends, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But you know what got me on that video thing? He kept referring to the 47% as those people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's worse than disdain. It was just, I mean, it really was stunning. You know, we all remember moments in campaigns. This was just like, oh, no. I mean, when there's a panic late night press conference, it's bad, right?
Well, I tell you what, maybe his wife should have done something with that nappy ass, or excuse me, that nappy head. Oh, Lord, Steph, I'm sorry,
oh,
honey.
Oh, damn, you are in a state this morning.
Oh, honey, you better believe it. They had me so fired up this morning, and I got right back up, and I told John, I said, you get on that phone. I got to talk to Stephanie.
I think even Ann said, you're on your own, you loser. Just go out there and try to explain that.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna let John say what he's got to say real fast.
All right.
And honey, I'm so glad the three of you are back. I've missed you so much.
Me to you. All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Here he is, baby doll.
Okay.
I love her.
Okay, the only two things I've got to say real quick
is
Mitt is going to have to send the chair to the first debate because that's the only one that's got any intelligence in that campaign and that. And the second one, when you
I think Obama might be debating an empty chair. But
well, that's it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, when you walk across the pasture and that, everything, after the cattle's been out there, there's only so many cow patties you can step in. And
that's
I think Mitt has stepped in every one of them now.
Yep.
Thank you buy him some
for
wellies.
That homespun. Thank you, John and Pam. Love you.
Yeah, thank you. Love you guys.
I want to marry both of them. Okay. Because we care, Mary, we know you're still listening. Mm-hmm. We feel like you just need love from somebody like you. Please.
Finding true right-wing love is a challenge, so that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person is going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
Hey, Rocky Mountain Mike. I love you women. Well, at least 53% of you.
All right, here's some more mittens from the, it's Candid Romney. Okay, here he is at the phone.
We have a very different approach, the president and I, between a government-dominated society and a society driven by free people pursuing their dreams. This is really a discussion about the political process of winning the election. And of course, I want to help all Americans.
Oh, sure you do.
All Americans have a bright and prosperous future.
Sure.
And I'm convinced that the president's approach has not done that and will not do that.
What I meant to say back then was by all, I mean 53% of our free living people in their Cadillac Escalades full of food.
It's not me. All right. It's him, right?
You know, when Rin's penis comes out, there's been a you know.
Oh boy.
There's been a problem.
What we do have very clearly is a government and a society here in this country that is becoming dependent. This is something advertised by Barack Obama himself on his own website when they came out with this Life of Julia push over the summer. It is a choice election between what type of country you want to have, and I can guarantee you that the American dream was not built upon the Life of Julia society advertised by Barack Obama.
Okay.
Hello, he whined.
Nicely done, really. Damage control accomplished. Really, that's all smoothed over now. No one will remember.
He's awful. Wow.
He really is.
Oh, my God.
He really is. Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Okay, thanks. Did you get that in?
If only he'd have that energy.
Yeah.
Hello, he whined.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is my favorite part. Romney talking about how well things are going.
Yeah.
I've got a terrific campaign. My senior campaign people work extraordinarily well together. I work well with them. Our campaign is doing well. And frankly, these process stories take away from what's really of concern to the American people.
What is that, like processed cheese?
The process of your campaign tanking, you mean? That process? The process of your campaign imploding and everyone's eyes? Oh, dear. Okay.
I want all the American people to succeed, except those 47% of freeloaders. What? What'd I say? What? What?
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. No, it's real good what you did, Mitt. It's real good. You did real good. It was good last night.
You're a bad man.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Very bad man.
Sharon in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sharon.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thank you for Current TV, and thank you for the Cenk Uygur Show. He's hot.
Whoa. Let me write that down. That belonged to the Turk. Okay, go ahead.
He's great. I like to watch him every day. I just wondered if you guys think, you know that Ayn Rand lady?
Ayn Rand, yeah.
Or Ayn Rand. I think she looks like that Hungarian madam that used to hang around with Heidi Fleiss. She looks just like her and talks like her.
Yes.
But my comment was, I was wondering why Mitt Romney did talk about thinning the herds, sending more people to war so he can get rid of all the losers, and then put high fences around our factories because everyone will want the jobs when he pays people like 12 cents, you know, to work and they'll have to stay in the factory and live there on bunk beds.
Yeah. Did you see him also talking about Chinese slave labor they had at a company Bain bought?
Yeah, that's his vision for America. Right
yeah.
There. That's
awesome.
Oh, that's great. 12 girls to a room. That was fantastic.
Awesome.
Marvelous. Five cents.
In case you've been in a cave.
Sure.
Mitt Romney, during a private fundraiser captured on video, told a group of donors in much blunter terms than he does publicly. This according to the Boston Globe. How he feels about the election, he joked about his wealth and quipped that he would have a better shot at victory if he were Latino. Okay, the most striking portion of the video shows Romney talking in disparaging ways about nearly half the electorate.
Yeah.
He dismisses supporters of President Obama as people who are so dependent on government for their existence that they will support the president no matter what. Wow. You know what? I know we already played it, but just in case you couldn't quite hear it, in crystal clear audio quality, he said there are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. He said, all right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who really believe they're victims. Really? Do you really think half the country thinks they're victims?
Wow.
And they're okay. Who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. That's an entitlement. No, you mittens are entitled. The rest of us have paid into a lot of this stuff, so we are entitled to it, like Social Security and Medicare.
And what happened to, you know, the right to, what's the word?
What?
I'm having a brain fart.
He said, my job is not to worry about those people. So he just wants to be president of half of America, and it's the president engaging in class warfare?
Wow.
Let me just get this straight. It's not my job to worry about half the country? I'll never convince them they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. He's saying half of the country takes no personal responsibility and doesn't care for their life? Really, Mitts?
Wow.
Obama's campaign manager called it shocking. He said it's hard to serve as president for all Americans when you've disdainfully written off half the nation. D'ya think? Yeah, here was the, we did this earlier, but the little, it's the Hispanic joke. Ready? My dad was born in Mexico. People are already chuckling because we're talking about the brown ones. Let's wait till the waitstaff leaves the room. Okay. He's been born of Mexican parents. I'd have a better shot at winning. I mean, I say that jokingly. It's always funnier when you have
utilizing humor.
Yeah. Yeah, when you have to point out it's a joke, always funnier. It would be helpful to be Latino.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, I love this part. Romney also spoke of his wealth, claiming he's a self-made millionaire.
No. That's patently false.
Whose father happened to be the head of American Motors and governor of the state. Yeah, that kind of self-made millionaire.
Yeah.
He said, I've inherited nothing.
Wow.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
You're a lying sack
just
of
a
crap.
Poor kid.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I've inherited nothing. Frankly, I was born with a silver spoon, which is the greatest gift you can have, which is to get born in America. He was just born a poor black child with nothing. And look what he's made. Look at the magic he's made.
It's not like his dad was a sharecropper.
That was all. Wow. That's the only advantage he had, was being born in America, Chris. He had no... It's not like his father was... You know, governor, ran a car company, anything like that.
Wow.
Wow. That was breathtaking. Okay. I need to recover from this for a moment, and then we'll... As it turns out, some people have some thoughts on these thoughts.
You think?
Yes. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's all Jackie Cook everywhere between the tongue and the
tongue. All right, stop it. Stop it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number is toll free from anywhere. You thought Reince Priebus was whiny. Laura Ingraham says it's ridiculous. This is even getting any airplay, this 47%.
Why are you even paying attention to it? Pay attention to me.
Look over there. Don't.
Look over there at that naked baton twirler.
You thought the last 7 Romney gaffes were bad, just to be a fly on the wall, right? In right-wing living rooms. Oh, God. Really? Seriously, I think we need to have the election early. We need to have a mercy election.
Yeah, just...
Get this doofus off the world stage before he starts World War III. Now he's insulting China. That's good. Yep. They're going to call in all the markers. Shut up, Mitt!
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, he's insulted pretty much the entire Arab world at this point. England, where else? Am I missing anything?
Poland.
Yes. Oh, Israel and the Palestinians, which that is tough to do. I had to give it to him there. He insulted the Palestinians, and then he said, you know, you Jews are so good with the money or something.
Yeah.
What? I don't know, boy.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Maria in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Hi. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I think you touched on this, but the main irony in the quote that you had from Romney this morning is not the 47% that aren't paying their taxes because they can't. It's the 1% that are the entitled bums that are not paying their taxes, and he doesn't pay his income tax.
Yeah.
And what's worse than that?
Well, that's the irony. Is that's probably. I mean, that's why he's not releasing them. As Harry Reid is probably right. Particularly in some years. And so,
and the other thing,
and by the way, Maria, we brought this up, but you know, and Chris, you said it. We pay income. Payroll tax,
sales tax.
It's not when people
tax on gasoline.
That's not fair to say. Oh, 47. Right. They don't pay anything. Of course they do.
Right.
I think what escapes a lot of people that are just envious that the 1% can get away without paying their taxes is who pays the taxes? We do. We pay his taxes. It's not like he's not using the roads. It's not like we don't have a strong military, schools, and police. We have to pay the portion he's not paying.
Yeah. By the way, Mittens, you didn't build that. You got money from Daddy and also from what we just said, the government stuff, the roads to your business, what the president was talking about. But, I mean, how rich is it that Mitt Romney is talking to people about who's entitled? It's the 47% of us that are acting all entitled and uppity, apparently, asking for stuff we've paid into all our lives. Let's go to Cindy in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to make a point to Mitt's screw-up from yesterday when he mentioned that he'd have a better chance of winning if he was Latino. Well, he is half Latino because, as you said earlier, his father was born in Mexico. So right. Doesn't that make him half Latino?
No. No, his father is not Latino. He was, he'd gone there to, you know, escape the anti-polygamy.
Yes, he's of Caucasian origin.
The anti-polygamy uptightness here in the United States.
Was, but George Romney was born in Mexico. It says so on Mitt's birth
certificate. Right, but that doesn't make him of Latino heritage.
Another point, then, if George Romney was born in Mexico, how did he have the right to run for president? Don't you have to be a natural-born citizen?
Yeah, I've always been curious about that myself. I don't know what the answer is.
It shows kind of an arrogance, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of a double standard?
Yeah.
A little bit. And then him accusing the president of being the one conducting class warfare.
Yeah.
That's rich.
I think since both of George Romney's parents were American and he was born on foreign soil, that makes him eligible to run for president.
Right. Hmm. Linda in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
That one woman, the Flaming Red or whatever that she was great.
Road Flare Mary.
Road Flare Mary, yes.
I love that. mine's a little boring. I was watching the Voter Values, which was hard, but I did it anyway. And Ryan had made a comment that he says their ticket has a vision, quote unquote, leaving details to be filled in by Congress.
Yeah.
And my impression was what?
Yeah, how's that for leading from behind? We'll let Congress fill in the details
of our
budget?
They have 12% approval rating, so they can probably handle that, right? Like when they get back when?
Yeah. Paul Ryan, actually it's 10% if you're keeping track. 10% approval rating.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it's high, right? Well, high on the low
this
scale.
Is the guy that, by the way, said he did a budget, but they didn't run the numbers on it.
Yeah.
Why would you need numbers in a budget?
We didn't run the numbers.
Isn't that pretty much what most budgets are made up of, is numbers?
It's like me saying I wrote a book, and you're like, there's
no words.
Words. I'm like,
well, we'll fill in
the occasional doodle.
We'll leave that to Congress.
I'll get to that.
They'll fill in all the word stuff
in
my book.
Ronnie in Richmond, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, guys. Hi. Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
We missed you.
Thank you. Me too. Go ahead.
You know, I just got in and just seen this for the first time, and you know, every time I got bad breath right now because every time I hear Mitt Romney, I throw up. he tells so many lies, and you know he's for the rich people, and Lisa Obama cares about everyone. So everybody needs to think about that for the next month.
Yep.
And you know, Mary from Chicago, I don't know what her deal was, but you know, people need help out there. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I think I know what her deal is.
I think I kind of
we sussed that out kind of early.
Maybe it's not full of food.
Smoking. Maybe it was the hood that obscures her.
That could be. Yeah.
Maybe it's hard to hear her through the hood. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. We got Charlie Pearson. We got Colonel Wayne Powell. We got a big show.
We do.
Yeah. Stay tuned. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Is it wrong to feel good when Mitt Romney feels so bad this morning? 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. We have Charlie Pierce coming up at Esquire.com. Some hilarious stuff, as usual, this week at Esquire.com. Colonel Wayne Powell running against Eric Cantor live in studio.
That's right.
In hour number three.
Cool.
Very, very exciting. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Wow!
What?
The Sexy Liberal documentary
got
huge ratings. Huge.
Really?
Huge.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Please and thank you. I had nothing to do with it.
Well, you had a little bit to do with it.
Current will be re-airing it. The next airing is coming up. It's 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, but that's like late tonight. 3 o'clock, you know, but that's Eastern time, right?
Yeah, because...
So set your DVR.
At hour, yes, because at 3 a.m. our time, Bill Press is on.
Yes.
And so then I don't think we're preempting Bill.
No.
And
then it will be airing again. It'll be air again several times, yeah. I'm told.
Do a little search on your DVR.
Right.
Yeah, it'll come up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Look at it. I got it right there in the rating. Look at that. Wow!
Just like my huge appearance at the convention. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, no. No. By the way, and only two more sexy liberals in 2012. Let's see. Jeremy writes, Steph, just finished buying my ticket to see your show in Seattle.
What?
It's September 29th, Mama's birthday.
Whoa.
It's coming up, and we're nearing sellout. Very excited, even though I shall be attending alone, which gave me the idea that you should start a dating site for single sexy liberals. Sexy Liberal is a dating site. It is. There are sexy liberal hookups at every show.
Yep.
Go and get some sexy liberal strange.
We always have to clear out the bathroom stalls because there's all kinds of stuff going on in there.
Should be a place for all of us communist fascists from whereabouts unknown to meet and get our socialism on. Jeremy, done. Done and done. Seattle, hurry, tickets almost gone. And then the big one, the Sexy Liberal Palooza at the Beacon Theater October 27th with Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and me, the big pre-election extravaganza.
That's going to get rendy.
Yes, indeed. Some big, big surprises.
What?
Huge.
Big celebrity surprises.
Huge. Can you drop a hint?
No. No.
Oh, come on.
All right. do you think
Carrot Top?
Do you think Mitten's campaign will still be going on by then?
Oh. Maybe 47% of it.
All right. All right, yeah. Just a fair warning. Don't you vote. Don't do it. Don't vote, Robin.
No.
You were working as a dancer at the Itchy Kitty when I met you. You voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980. That much is true.
Yes.
I know you wouldn't do it, but I just can't take that chance, girl. Would be sad to find that you had lost your mind. You better double check or we will both be sorry. Don't you vote for Romney. Don't you do it, girl. Don't you vote for Romney. Don't you do it.
Mountain Mike. Ah. So, Rom, besides the implosion yesterday with Romney caught on tape saying, screw yous, 47% of yous, you bloodsuckers. then they had the emergency last night, the press conference. Yesterday, they were saying, because they've been criticized for not offering specifics on anything.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. So they had a campaign call. And they offer no specifics on the lack of specifics.
Wow.
Yeah. They promised to unveil more specifics on his campaign proposals during a conference call yesterday, pushing back on bipartisan criticism that they have no
plan.
Specifics.
No specifics.
Right. The campaign pledge for specifics was lacking new specifics itself, much like this new ad.
My plan is to help the middle class.
Oh,
trade
okay.
has to work for America. That means crack down on cheaters like China. It means open up new markets. Next, you've got to balance the budget. You've got to cut the deficit. You've got to stop spending more money than we take in. And finally, champion small business. Have tax policies, regulations, and health care policies that help small business. We put those in place, we'll add 12 million new jobs in 4 years.
Really?
We'll just do good things. Will make things happen that are good.
That are okay.
We'll
see. Did he explain how his tax cuts for the rich, which are 4 times larger than George Bush's, which will explode the deficit, did he explain how that will cut the deficit?
No. I'm going to sing of good things, not bad.
That's why
happy, not sad.
That's why he doesn't do specifics, because if you do specifics...
No, I don't do specifics.
You'll...
Here is the president with some specifics.
We're going to reduce our deficit without sticking it to the middle class. I put forward a plan that will reduce our deficit by $4 trillion.
Yep. He already did.
It's an actual budget with numbers.
It's a plan.
Unlike Paul Ryan's.
We haven't run the numbers yet.
We don't.
Okay, when are you going to do that?
We're just spitballing. Okay.
Sometime before November, maybe?
Kevin in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good. Go ahead.
First of all, I just have a message for
Clint Eastwood just to let him know that he is wrong, because Mitt Romney has and did quote that to himself.
Yes, he did quote himself. You're right.
Massively, as a matter of fact. and when he was covering himself last night at the press conference, telling everybody that, you know, he had made a plan to bring the poor into the middle class, the only thing he says is to cut entitlement programs. But I think that's the problem with conservatives and their short-sightedness. They don't see the big picture. You know, these programs like the Pell Grant that will further educate our Americans and make them eligible for higher-paying jobs. Thus, they'll be able to pay higher taxes. But, you know, they only see, you know, current numbers, what's going on today, and just I don't know if they refuse to or don't have the capacity to see the whole picture.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
Yeah, by cracking down on China, he means sending more American jobs over there, apparently.
Yes. So. Joyce in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to say I miss the open mics during your breaks.
Uh-oh.
Because those were so much fun.
when we used to do the show, broadcast it on the Internet.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
At the beginning, when you were on Current, you'd leave the mic on, and then you'd say, oh, no, the mic's on.
Oops. A lot of oops moments.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
I missed that, though. That was fun. Okay,
someone ought to give Mitt Romney a heads up about open mics.
Yeah, I know. Well, whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about our friend from Chicago and how her son wasn't going to get enough for food stamps.
Because of the black people, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know. And how they don't pay taxes and all that sort of thing. And I was wondering about how the huge corporations who get all the tax breaks for infrastructure and all kinds of different improvements that are made and don't have to pay impact fees and that sort of thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I think they're kind of living off the government dole, too.
Well, that's what we were saying is so ironic, is that, Mitt Romney, probably Harry Reid is right, that he played zero taxes in some years. I mean, that's the, and again, no one's saying that he cheated. That's the nature of our tax structure. So for him to stand there and talk about people who don't pay taxes, when, first of all, and the one year we do know, he paid, what was it, 13% or something like
13%.
That?
13%, which is way less of a percentage than I pay.
I don't know anybody that pays that little, do you? Yeah, thank you. All right. Mitt Romney talking about unemployment.
By reducing federal government employment by 10% through attrition, by combining agencies and departments to reduce the overhead, I'm going to send a number of programs that have been growing uncontrollably fast back to the states, where I'm going to limit their rate of growth to the rate of inflation, or in the case of Medicaid, to inflation plus 1%.
Mm. He's talking about putting people out of work by reducing all these jobs that are so wasteful.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you for...
Good plan.
Good plan. All right, Mitt Romney one more time.
While national unemployment is at 8.1%, Hispanic unemployment, as you know, is over 10%. Over 2 million more Hispanics are living in poverty today than the day President Obama took office.
Yes, that was him... That was him trying to... Was he talking to an Hispanic group?
He was.
Yeah,
to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce here in Los Angeles yesterday.
Yes. And then at the tape that he didn't think you were going to hear, he was making jokes about how his father was born in Mexico, and it would be so much more helpful if I were Latino. Wouldn't that be hilarious if I were Latino?
Because those people always get a free ride.
The brown people get a free ride, so I would... That's the basis of the joke.
Yeah.
It's the brown people getting a free ride again. There you go.
Yep.
Uh-huh. All right. As it turns out, Pew poll, Americans react negatively to Romney's Middle East response. Should we just fill in the blank? Americans react negatively to Romney's... Just fill in the blank.
Yeah.
His...
You can play match game with that.
Being.
Americans react negatively to
Romney's
blank.
Existence. To his response to the attacks on U.S. embassies in the Middle East, Romney falsely claimed, of course, that President Obama's first response to a violent attack in Libya that killed our ambassador was to apologize for American values. Romney backed up his claim by sending a statement released by the U.S. embassy in Cairo that was issued before Stevens was killed. The administration said the initial statement from Cairo was not approved by Washington and condemned the violence. Nearly half of Americans, there's that 47 or 48% of us again.
Oh, wow.
48% in this case. View Romney's statements negatively, while 26% saw them in a positive light.
Wow.
So there. Nicely done. Nicely done, Mittens. Oh, and he's already been kind of tanking in the polls. We got to wait and see what happens with this now, right?
Yeah.
After this latest, you know.
Whatever. Kerfuffle.
Yes. Okay, exactly. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. You made me snarf on my keyboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Okay, vacation, Mama and Roland's vacation pictures are up.
Yep.
Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and Sexy Liberal Facebook. The bike trip and the Kennedy compound trip. You said that one of them looks like a tampon commercial?
Looks like a douche commercial. You're kind of looking joyous on a beach.
I am joyous on a beach.
Are you on a horse?
No, the horse is absent.
Can I just say, Roland, I love to death. He's my soulmate. Boys are disgusting. Can
Why?
I just say this? You know, present company accepted, of course.
Well, sometimes we can be disgusting.
I'm just saying. Traveling with someone 24/7.
Was he hocking
boogies? I saw his balls. Anyway, he was laying in a robe. I was like, oh, God. He's on the bed in a robe.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw those?
For a long time.
I know.
I've
forgotten what those look like.
I just think I'm going to buy it. Yeah, and he saw my cooter once, he said, and I told him not to look when I was putting bike clothes on. I said, don't look. All right. Yeah, he's like traveling with a toddler. Like, his bag explodes. He's like Pigpen.
He's high strung.
He's Pigpen. His stuff is everywhere.
Well, you two really were made for each other. You're both incredibly high strung
and
people.
Neurotic.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
You're neurotic. No, you're the neurotic. I'm not neurotic. You're neurotic.
You should have seen me running around the Kennedy compound trying to clean up after him. Because when we're trying, I was like...
Because he's a boy.
Yes, towels on the floor. Okay, I probably shouldn't mention this, but he didn't flush. He didn't... I'm like, oh, you left a Lincoln log in the Kennedy compound.
He left a turd in the Kennedy toilet.
I had to flush the toilet. I was like, you are a pig. I'm picking up...
P-I-G, pig.
Oh, boys.
Well, maybe it was a two-flusher and he only did one flush.
Oh, boys.
I'm just saying.
You know,
maybe he's too high-strung to, you know, flush. He's just his mind wanders.
I have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
Roland's, you know, seeing his...
His balls and
his,
and,
his, right?
and his deuce.
Oh,
wow.
TMI. I just got gayer. If I wasn't gay when I went on this trip. Wow.
I'm surprised Ethel Kennedy just didn't kick you guys out.
She didn't know because I cleaned up after him. Everywhere he went, I was like picking stuff up.
Yeah, but you were showing your private parts to everybody.
He left a box of Triscuits in the...
You ate Ethel Kennedy's Triscuits?
They're Bobby Kennedy's. We were in Bobby Kennedy's house on the compound. And I was like, oh, Roland, you left the Triscuits out.
Did you replace said Triscuits? He may arrive at the house wanting a Triscuit.
Where are my Triscuits?
And he won't have his Triscuits.
Where the hell are my Triscuits?
Oh,
who
my
ate my God. Triscuits?
I just love that the Kennedys eat Triscuits.
I know. Oh, my God. It was the best hors d'oeuvres ever. She serves Triscuits with some kind of cream cheese with, like, pepper jelly on it. It was delicious. You get to watch the news with her. I got to watch the news with Ethel Kennedy.
Wow.
She wants to know what you think.
Does she scream at the TV?
And then we had dinner. We had lamb chops. They were delicious.
With mint jelly?
And then she kicked my ass a Bananagram. Okay. Kendra in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey there, all you sexy liberals.
Hello.
Love watching you guys whenever I take off work or whenever I'm late for work.
Thank you.
We
appreciate you making you late to work. Go ahead. We're all, you know, 47% that live off the government anyway.
Yeah.
None of us want to work.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm one of those black people in, you know, born and raised in Chicago.
Oh.
And, you know.
Oh, so you're on your way to fill your Escalade up with food.
Food, yes.
I'm on my way to do that as we
right.
speak, Stephanie.
With your food
stamps. You know, if I wasn't.
When did you get out of prison?
you know, just yesterday. I'm fresh out. And I'm looking to score.
Jim actually said that during the break after Mary called. He goes, boy, I hope some black people call from their Escalades on their way to the grocery store.
Here you go. Don't have an Escalade, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of glad that we are where we are right now in this moment in time, because it's really letting us see what people really think, because people have gone so completely bat crazy, with Barack Obama being in the White House and the things that they usually talk about amongst themselves. They're letting out now. Thanks, guys. Tell me what you really think, number one.
I know.
And, you know, number two.
Well, that's the shocking thing, Kendra, about this video of Romney. It's that caller. It's that there are people that agree with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's so sad, and it breaks my heart, you know, but I work for a really, well-established organization in Chicago, and that's about 70% of our staff is African American. We're professional, Stephanie. Most of us are multi-degreed. I mean, we go to work every day. We don't have big fancy cars, but we go and we pay our rent, we pay our mortgage, we pay our bills, we pay our taxes. And, you know, it just, I want to tell these people like Mary, we are not your problem.
Oh, no, I mean,
not your problem.
Yeah, I've had conversations. It really is stunning, Kendra. I've had, you know, people, you know, say things that are similar to what Mary said, you know.
If you have to start a sentence with, I'm not a racist, but.
Exactly.
You know, don't fall for the okey-doke, guys. We are not the problem. The big companies, that are getting subsidies and getting bailed out and different things like that, those people are your enemies, but they put up these big shiny objects in the forms of brown people that are taking your stuff.
Yeah. Kendra, I literally had someone say to me once, oh, I know this black person, she's scamming welfare that works with me. And I'm like, well, I know two black people that went to a Dartmouth. How about, are we really having a conversation about those people? Like, really?
Are we?
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. All right, honey. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She is a lovely person, warm, intelligent, just kind of gullible. It's like every word out of her mouth makes you want to be like, oh, honey.
True. Many of my friends are listening right now are like, honey. Oh,
bless your heart.
You are a hot mess. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You know, every week, something from Charlie Pierce's column just sticks in my head and makes me giggle uncontrollably just when I'm on my own. That's the kind of political nerd I am.
Uh-oh.
I believe it was, let me see here, it was calling Scott Walker, I don't know, something-eyed, goggle-eyed homunculus that the Koch brothers hired to run their subsidiary, which used to be known as Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't know, it's just...
Why don't you ask him for an exact quote?
Goggle-eyed homunculus. Okay, I will. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Well, you know, I'm just sitting back here mooching.
You 47%er.
Wow.
We thought
I'm just a mooching.
We thought it was going to be this election.
Rich, handsome, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be about the 1%. This election's now about the 47% of us, right?
No, I guess it's the 53%, technically.
Right. Right.
But as people have pointed out, this isn't original with him. This has been floating around out there for a while.
I know. What is going on? I mean, this was just this press conference last night, this panicked press conference was hilarious. It's the first time in my life I've seen his hair look bad, and that's when you know.
It was, you know why? Because his hair is giving up, too. His hair is leaking to Politico.
It's the hair helmet is trying to escape. So,
I like that little thing in front of Paul Ryan's head. Let's go be part of that.
It is really. This was. I mean, you've been covering politics for a long time. This is fairly incredible, isn't it? I mean,
well,
not just
it's incredible for a number of reasons. Number one, I don't think it's going to hurt him as badly as a lot of people do, because as you found out from that phone call, I think there are a lot of people out there that agree with him. Number two, it's incredible because, boy, are they selling him out. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Everybody in the party seems to be selling him out right now.
Right. The Politico story.
The Politico story on top. I mean, somebody had to get this to David Corn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right. It had to be somebody who was invited to that thing. I don't think one of the waiters had, you know, a camera secreted on the oyster tray. I mean, somebody was there and took this video. And number three, they had to know this was coming.
Right.
It's been on YouTube.
Right. And it's been out since May.
So how did this...
The best response they could come up with was putting Mitt Romney, you know, unscripted behind a microphone. What could possibly go wrong there?
Oh, my God. But we were saying, Charlie, this is the problem, is it's not a gaffe. You know, Romney has said things like this in public, that, you know, if you want free stuff, vote for the other guy. I mean, and they were saying how loose he seemed, because this is he's in his element,
of course,
right?
These are the people who are entitled to the truth. These are the people he believes are entitled to what's really going on. The rest of us are entitled to whatever he wants to sell us.
Right, right. I mean, and last night, I mean, what do you feel like anyone went, oh, well, that's good. We put that to rest.
Yeah, it's all settled now. It was inartfully said. No kidding.
Yeah, it was inelegant. Is that what he said? It was inelegantly said.
Well, I mean, how do you say what he said elegantly? Do you, like, tack on an order for, you know, a little bit of Cristal at the end?
Right. But, you know, you had already commented on this, Charlie, before this latest, I guess we'll just call it a gaffe. You said to pin recent stumbles on Stevens, his campaign manager, would be to overlook Romney's role in all this. And I think everyone up to Joe Scarborough has said that. He's running specifically as a great manager, and his campaign is complete disarray, right?
Well, there are a couple of things going on. Number one, yes, he's a terrible candidate. He's much more maladroit than I thought he was. I thought he was a guy who couldn't tie his shoes politically. And he's living down to my expectations. But also, his ideas aren't selling.
No.
He's got Paul Ryan out there trying to sell the ideas. Nobody wants to buy Paul Ryan's ideas.
Yeah.
This is going to come as a great shock to Paul Ryan, I think, during the vice presidential debate.
Yeah, I love your Paul Ryan will not be saving the Romney campaign piece. You say, we've dealt previously with the utter hilarity of the notion that the path to glory for Willard Romney is to unleash the neo-Randian policy genius that has run his running mate, Paul Ryan, the zombie-eyed Granny Starver from Wisconsin. And you say one of his abiding weaknesses is he's always believed everything the Beltway press has said about him as a budget wonk, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, and I think he's bought his own mythology, and I don't think he'll take teasing well. Let's put it that way.
Well,
if there's one gift Joe Biden has as a politician, it's to be a pain in the neck on the thing you don't want anybody to be a pain in the neck about.
Well, you know, and I think you've sort of alluded to this. We were talking about the parallels between this and it's like someone has written Game Change before the campaign's even over. But you know, this reminds me what you said about Ryan wants to be unleashed. Isn't that just like Sarah Palin going rogue? I mean, this can't...
I mean, I think some of this is coming from him, too. I'm not, not necessarily, maybe not from him, but from his people. You know, I don't think he likes... I mean, he doesn't... I don't think he's accepted the fact that he's not the guiding intellect of this campaign. I mean, granted, somebody would be. But I think the basic problem with the campaign and the basic problem with the Republican Party in general right now is that there's no Jim Baker. There's no guy with enough gravitas to go in there and bang people's head together and say, cut this crap out.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't one. Nobody. I was talking with a guy who worked with Romney on the last campaign. He doesn't listen.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to anybody. Okay. I guarantee you he thought the Clint Eastwood thing was a good idea. I will guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it happened.
Yeah.
But the fact is, there's nobody with enough gravitas in the party anymore who can go in there and say, look, guys. You know, all of a sudden Bill Nelson is way ahead in Florida, and it looks like Elizabeth Warren may have cracked a bit of a lead up here.
That's right.
Yep.
I mean, there are bad things happening at all points of the compass right now, and nobody seems to be in control.
I know. Well, and you say, I mean, this we talked about this right in the with the Paul Ryan pick, that is this going to be a down-ticket disaster? And as you say, you know, about Ryan this week, you're not running to be president of policy ideas largely because every time you release another phony budget, even Republicans who voted for it out of pure herd instinct wind up hiding behind the drapes when you come down the hall. So you say, oh, please, Willard, take this advice, put voucher care front and center. I mean... If Paul Ryan's such a genius, how come no one wants to be associated with his budget or his Medicare plan?
Well, they vote for it and then run away. That's the thing. Yeah, vote for it. See, there we go.
Oh, but, yes. Like, he's serious.
Don't worry about it because it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But I think there's mutiny below decks and nobody at the wheel right now.
Yeah. I mean, it really, I have to say it's entertaining to watch, but I'm sort of going, where do we go from here? It's only September.
And at the same time, the entire Middle East is blowing up.
Yeah.
If you want to demonstrate that the president isn't much of a foreign policy, you know, leader, you know, right. You could probably do that now if you weren't the campaign that hired John Bolton.
I was just going to say, this thing in the Middle East, I mean, we just did the Pew poll. I mean, everybody had the same reaction, hugely negative toward what Romney. You thought that was the campaign ending moment last week, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an opening for him, and he hadn't had one for a while, and all, you know, but he's not equipped to take advantage of it because he surrounded himself, you know, with, you know, the summertime shed tour of Over the Hill Rock acts from the Bush administration.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a terrifying.
You know, John Bolton being, you know, the guy from REO Speedwagon.
Well, right, but I mean,
or the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah, oh.
Right,
hey,
but
the
I mean,
Oak Ridge Boys were good in Tampa.
But I mean, that's the terrifying thing, isn't it? And, you know, Maureen Dowd wrote about it this week. You've obviously talked about it. It's all these neocons are running his. It's terrifying.
Because he wasn't prepared for this campaign to be about that, so he just grabbed anybody who was handy. I mean, come on, Dan Senior?
Oh, right. But, I mean, we were, you know, it's interesting. Where is this? Oh, The Nation about, you know, Mitt Romney's Muslim-baiting backers. I mean, his reaction to this film, it's, you know, it emerged from the same Islamophobic circles that celebrate, you know, John Bolton and right. Boykin and all these other
Pamela
guys
Geller.
that are backing Romney, right?
No, I mean, well, I don't. Yeah, I'm not going to say Pamela Geller's backing Romney, but she's certainly backing a lot of the people who are working for him.
Absolutely.
Right.
And you know, and I thought Frank Rich had a fairly interesting piece in New York this week, where he points out that like the real conservatives aren't happy with this guy either.
Right.
I mean, he's going to end this campaign the way he ended 2008, which is to be utterly friendless.
Right. Well, I mean, again, Romney, it took him, what, 4 days to even condemn this video, the innocence of Muslims thing. But we were saying Sheldon Adelson is his main backer who's gone on record as saying all terrorists are Islamists. I mean, it's like this is not an accident.
No,
right?
I mean, I think the part of that that he's never going to get over is jumping the gun on the violence in Egypt.
Right.
I mean,
right.
that made him look. You know, of all the Thurston Howell moments he's had since he started running, that was the one that really looked bad. Because, you know, I mean, with the economy, rich people will act a certain way. But if you want to be the president of the United States, you cannot do something like that.
Yeah. Well, and I thought, but you saw that picture. That was like the most emblematic of what a clueless politician he is and his smirking. Like he just nailed it in that press conference, right?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, there's no question that in the last month, the Democrats have won the candid photo op primary. I mean, between the guy picking up the president and the biker sitting there with Joe Biden having to brew while the other two guys looked on, and then, you know, Mitt walking away from the stage going, yeah, I really got him that time. And all the reporters sitting there going, Jesus, God, I mean,
God.
Another right. 2 months with this guy?
Remind me what you called Scott Walker.
That's a twice elected goggle-eyed homunculus.
Yeah.
Hired by Koch Industries to run the Midwest subsidiary formerly known as the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you. That was it. Thank you, Charlie Pierce. Thank you. You say it better than I do, mostly because you wrote it. But yeah, I mean, that was a victory, but you know, obviously the judge overturned his union bashing law, but as you say, because they're in charge, there's nothing that's going to...
No, that's not going to... Yeah. That one's not going to last, and frankly, I think the people in Wisconsin are not altogether happy with the ruling. I mean, they've passed on this. I mean, they have voted twice now. I mean, they had an opportunity to roll all of this back, and they didn't take it. So they live with it.
Yeah, well, and of course he's a liberal activist judge, as all judges are when they don't rule your way.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean that's the kind of back and forth I expect. But they're just, you know, I'm not entirely sure that one's going to hold up. Again, you know, I'm trying not to sit here and think, gee, you know, this might actually be a wave election in the other direction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I just look around, and Nelson's ahead in Florida.
Yep.
Like I said, Elizabeth Warren's really found her feet up here.
Yeah, I've been saying
first debate Thursday night, by the way.
Mm. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. We will be watching.
First of four, by the way.
Ooh. Four debates, really?
Four debates, yeah.
Scott Brown agreed to four debates?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow, that's taxing for a hand model. now, Charlie Pierce, we'll talk next week about Romney or whoever else the new candidate is by then.
But, okay, yeah. Excellent.
All right, love you.
I think Rick Santorum's at home going, you know, there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. All right.
Smart people aren't going to vote for it. Oh, by the way, well, one thing we have not mentioned, which I think is terrific, is my friend Governor Jennifer Granholm's YouTube video from Dating Game.
We saw that yesterday.
I'm telling you, rocking the overalls?
She can help. I think she's a strong woman.
And boy, did she get some turkeys, too.
Oh, yeah. All
she got some doof from Brooklyn and a male model and some other guy.
Yeah.
She didn't get one of those, like, 70s celebrities, like the guys from Chips or something.
All right. Love you, Charlie. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, there it goes. 46 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World next, and then Colonel Wayne Powell live in studio here as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny-any, dime-a-dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes, Clint Eastwood still thinks his skit was great.
Yep.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Maybe he'll be the new campaign manager. Just to tell Mitt everything's great. It's going great.
Anybody's got to be better.
Everything's going great. You know, we just got the idea on the way out.
Yep.
To the stage.
Yeah.
That's how improv that was.
He asked the stagehand to put a chair out there.
Yeah, because he thought he might sit, and he's like, I got an idea.
Give me an empty chair. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Or this guy might be the new campaign manager. Did you see this Gawker headline? If you have to take a leak, don't do it behind the president.
Yes.
It's the guy on the hillside taking a leak.
Oh, boy.
That guy's Romney's new campaign manager.
Yeah.
Even our friend Eric Erickson. A guy so nice they named him twice?
Not really nice. Kind of a douche, actually.
Vikings are like that.
Yeah.
This is when you know it's bad, when even right-wingers are hopping on the Romney campaign. When Politico is running stories like this, he wrote, followed by Stevens saying he will shift strategy, but all is hunky-dory. What you have going on is a campaign sensing disaster and the rats fleeing the ship. The charlatans are trying their best to get their reputation cemented now to cover their butts before the butt of the ship points up prior to sinking. That's the right-wing blogger. On redstate.com.
Wow.
Yep, those are some management skills there, Mittens. Boy, howdy.
Yippee.
Oh, boy. All right, let's dive into the right wing world, shall we? See what's doing. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for tomorrow's Rush Limbaugh. So this is today's defending Mitt Romney's Middle East.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It is my contention that the primary reason for this, and I.
The Middle East.
I can hear the howls of laughter, protest, disagreement when I say this.
Okay.
And it may not be the only reason, but I am convinced that one of the reasons this unrest happened was so it could be blamed on someone who could be made to look like he's a conservative.
Huh?
Because then what does it say about conservatism or people who are not liberal? That they're nuts.
Yes.
And...
What?
And your point would be...
So, this whole thing going on in the Middle East was ginned up by Obama so
to make Republicans look bad.
Nuts.
Wow. Because what?
Wow.
Wow. He's I don't think he even understands his own conspiracy theories anymore.
No, that
okay.
was stupid.
Wow. I can't wait to find out who is behind Mitt's latest gaffe.
It was Obama, obviously.
Oh, right. Okay, Greg Gutfield, the five.
If Bibi really wanted a meeting with Obama, he should go to a golf course. Or he should at least demand birth control pills. Because then he will definitely call him up.
What?
That was a little hunk, a little dollop of right-wing comedy there for you. Okay.
Greg Gutfeld thinks he's funny.
Sure. Okay, Rick Santorum on the...
President Netanyahu knows what President Obama will do, which is turn his back on them. And not support a strike, and in fact, maybe do things to make it more difficult for them to strike. So they are. President Obama has made his bed here, and he has sent very clear signals, as you heard Alan West talk about earlier, that if you're a friend of the United States, don't expect us to help you. If you're an enemy of the United States, we want to talk to you, we want to engage you, we want to appease you.
Okay.
So who really thinks bombing Iran is a good idea? I mean, how many thousands and
Netanyahu?
Thousands of civilian deaths?
Well, Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
It's an
Pam
army
Geller.
Of one.
Pam Geller on Fox News.
By condemning the movie, he's condemning freedom of expression.
Obama?
He's condemning freedom of speech.
No, he's not.
And he's also condemning these he's also sanctioning these murderous rages that these Muslim mobs have been going on.
He's not.
This is very dangerous.
You're stupid.
Because this is our First Amendment right. And
what?
Our First Amendment right protects all speech, not just ideas that we like, but ideas that
it
we
does.
Don't like. Because who would decide? The government? These Muslim mobs? We should be condemning the brutal blasphemy laws under the Sharia.
What the hell is she talking about?
Yeah. Well, so how is it, in what world, Mitt Romney took him 4 days, but he finally condemned the content of the film. Nobody is trying to say we're not having free speech anymore. They're saying this is disgusting,
and
the content of this film.
It's a deliberate provocation.
Exactly. And we are, and free speech allows us to say that.
And the people behind it said they knew this would be what would happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a little close to, yelling fire in a crowded theater? Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, this is exactly what we wanted to happen.
Right.
Meaning
so
that a lot of people would
Obama
die.
For it.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pamela Geller is a little too dense to understand the First Amendment. Just...
Nice Atlas jugs, though.
Yeah, she's got huge hooters. Seriously. Wow.
Okay, Sarah Palin and Bill O'Reilly?
Uh-huh.
They do have to bring it directly to Obama personally. A reflection of what he stands for and his... record proves what he stands for. He's for growing this big, disconnected, dysfunctional, debt-ridden government and disempowering the individual. That's what Obama and the left stands
but
for.
But you got to use those buzzwords. You got to say socialist.
Well,
you got to do that to get people's attention.
So we'll never get that 26 seconds of our life back.
So
right there.
Bill O'Reilly is giving Mitt Romney advice on how to win the election.
Is he the only one that still talks to Sarah Palin? That's the important thing. Okay, and Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends.
Occupy Wall Street organizers are planning a massive protest today to mark their first anniversary, and we're looking at some of the video next to our faces right now, and that almost looks like what happened last week in Libya and in Cairo, and we're talking about the Occupy forces moving out.
Yeah, it's
how many
exactly
people got
the
killed?
Same. Yeah, it's exactly the same. Wow, he's a...
It almost looks just like the Arabs doing their stuff. Look
Sadly,
at them.
That's the sharpest tool in that whole fuck shit.
Really?
Wow, looks just like it.
He's not like... the Deuciest.
No, that would be his son.
He's only Deucey. He's not even the Deuciest. Okay, Theta in Detroit real quick. Hey, Theta.
Oh, hi. Yeah, you guys, I was going to talk about that lady in Chicago, but you know that song, Don't You Love Me, Baby? That's a really sad song.
Yes. Yes.
But she could solve her problem if she's not racist. Cher's son could just find a really nice black girl, and then he would always be full, and he could even bring some food home. He wouldn't have to move in with the girl.
There you go. Exactly. The problem solver. See? We're helpers on the Stephanie Miller
they
Show.
They should live in their Escalade.
Date a black girl that has an Escalade full of too much food. Oh, my. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Colonel Wayne Powell running against Eric Cantor live in studio next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim Ward and Wayne Powell just looking at Eric Cantor's bitch face.
Oh, it's the first edition. You're not supposed to read it.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Live in studio, here he is, Colonel Wayne Powell.
Yay.
Running against Eric Cantor in the great
Wayne,
state
Wayne
of Virginia.
Wayne Powell is fine. Wayne Powell is fine. Just Wayne is fine.
I would prefer Colonel.
Some people do.
You said one of the funniest things ever. You're looking at our favorite website, and you said he doesn't have any other face other than a bitch face.
That's what I said. That's it. The only face I've ever seen. And I plan to see it on October 1st when we have our debate.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm sure he'll shoot it to me a few times.
He finally agreed to
he
one.
He finally agreed to a debate. I can't wait for this.
1 hour. And that'll decide the election. I'm convinced of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were just talking, obviously, with this latest, I don't even know what to call it, implosion of the Romney campaign. I've been saying this over and over. This could be a, you know, first of all, Paul Ryan could be a down ticket disaster. And second of all, I mean, we're seeing Elizabeth Warren, Ben Nelson in Florida. I mean, and I know that, of course, nobody thought that Eric Kandidat would be a competitive seat, right?
That's exactly what I was told back a year and a half ago. And because I love my country, and I said, something's going to happen. This is going to, yeah. I just put it in the hands of destiny, God, whatever you want to call it. And I said, this is his time. He's been there 12 years. He's done nothing except hurt this country.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cathartic occasion. And
don't you love political wisdom or political pundits? You're like, really? This Republican Congress has a 10% approval rating? Really? And that seat is just is unwinnable.
I mean, all I heard was, don't do it. You're just going to throw your money away. But you know what? There's some things that are more valuable than that, like our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My son, who's been in harm's way twice, is over there now. And the hundreds of thousands of others and the people that are swimming in their mortgages. All the people that are suffering because of people like Mitt Romney and Eric Cantor that just prefer to feed the top 1% that control about 25% of the wealth of this country. And that's wrong.
Well, funny you should bring that up. Let's listen again, shall we, Wayne? Let's listen to Mitt Romney behind closed doors.
You know, and by the way, I've been out of contact. I haven't heard this at all. So this will be the first time.
Take a listen.
There are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But it's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what.
And he said, it's not my job to worry about those people.
Those
47% of the country
that he
claims 47% of us are just victims that want to live off the government, and he doesn't. It's not his job to worry about those people.
So, well, if that doesn't define what this election is all about at the end of the day, it really does, because Eric Cantor is nip and tuck, hand in glove with Mitt Romney. It's all about the plutocrats, and I know that's a big word, as far the ultra rich. And the people that want to control what happens in this country, the only glitch in their system and their plan is democracy.
Yeah.
The vote. Because those 47% that he puts down and he denigrates are the people that hopefully will make sure that he doesn't even get close to the White House, in addition to the other 10 or 15% that the president ought to receive based on just that statement itself.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Virginia, the president has pulled ahead as well, hasn't
he? Has.
Yeah.
He has. And that came about the time of his Libyan comments about we're not apologizing. I mean, what does this man know about international affairs? How about nothing?
Yeah.
And he puts my son and all those other people in danger because he enrages even more the people that are extremists already.
I mean, and that literally was like last week's
campaign
ending.
No, it's last. Yeah,
and then
last
this week.
Gap.
I mean, how many more of these can he survive? I mean, it really is. It was like you could feel the white knuckle panic last night. And he had a late night press conference to leaked video. Yeah, and it was just, trying to explain those comments was. Yeah.
As to this event, I'm kind of like the frozen, unfrozen caveman. But
caveman lawyer.
But I'm not, and I am a lawyer, of course. But I'm not surprised because, as I said, when I started this, and everybody said, even one of the major leaders of the Democratic Party in the state, and I asked her, I said, well, so what do you think of my chances? And she said, you won't win. And of course, I'm the kind of guy when you're from the wrong side of the tracks, that just makes me more determined to fight.
That just makes you matter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She wouldn't like you when you're angry.
No, she doesn't.
You've been one of the, obviously the governor there, as we call him, Transvaginal Bob, been one of the warriors in the war against women. You've been fighting, of course, for us.
Exactly.
You've been talking about these issues a lot. I mean, today I'm reading this headline, Todd Akin's wife compares being abandoned by the GOP to being raped. Okay, they need to just stop comparing things to being raped.
They need to,
that are not being,
is it
that are not rape.
Is it forcible or statutory?
Yeah,
that's what
I don't
we need
know.
To find out.
This is Luli. Is that her name, Chris?
Yeah.
Luli Akin, please and thank you. She said that the Republican Party's attempts to push her husband out of the Missouri Senate race over his false assertion that women who are raped rarely get pregnant are like rape itself.
I mean,
down on her husband's.
Exactly. And I think that these people, especially on the other side, who want to get into such personal areas of people's living, you wouldn't see people talking about men's prostate exams on TV, but yet transvaginal, intruding things in women's private areas. I mean, they just talk about it casually, like it's nothing wrong with it.
Right. That's the analogy
that's,
I made.
That's
it would
crazy.
Be like demanding men get prostate exams
that's
to
crazy.
Get Viagra.
It's
right?
crazy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's called social justice. It's called treating people all the same.
There's another episode of the really bad analogies in this story. She also believes the GOP's abandonment is on a par with the tyranny that launched the American Revolution.
Ah, what?
Yes.
The American Revolution. I mean, this is so absurd. I mean, this gives you a lot of grist for your comedy, liberal, sexy...
sexy liberal comedy tour.
How did I
think
of the sexy
Thank
part?
You.
Anyway, sexy liberal comedy tour.
Yeah, I mean... I
think they should put him out of his Missouri.
Yay! Hey, ladies.
See what I did there?
Right.
I think they will. I think the voters will.
We just did a Pew poll out... Colonel, this morning that, you know, again, you don't even almost need to wait for the polling on these things, that vast majority reacted negatively to what Mitt Romney did with these Middle East comments. I think that alone disqualifies him to be president.
Certainly internationally, I think so, because, I mean, being a 30-year Army intelligence veteran myself, I mean, how irresponsible, how just out of the park stupid.
Right, right. Here's the president talking about what happened in the Middle East last week. President Obama.
But what happened this past week underscores that we still face threats in the world. Now, we can't just pull back.
And by the way, so Susan Rice, I don't know if you saw her on Meet the Press, U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
The best information and the best assessment we have today is that, in fact, this was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. That what happened initially was that it was a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired in Cairo as a consequence of the video.
I mean, isn't that the rule one that we used to have in America, Colonel, is that we're all Americans at the America's shores. When it becomes some, and particularly when the United States ambassador is killed, I mean, the fact that Mitt Romney would go out before we even knew the details
exactly,
on this.
Exactly. Not only that, Stephanie, that morning, as I understand it, I did see that clip from one of my favorite shows besides yours, Jon Stewart, Daily Show. Earlier that day, he said he didn't think it was wise to make any kind of statement. And so at 10 o'clock that night, he makes a statement. I mean, right. I mean, this man has no shame.
Yeah. That's right.
He has no internal censor, and he needs one.
No, I mean, to try to score political points.
Exactly.
You know, that to me says, and the funny thing is we talk about, like, how to divide, which way you're dividing Americans. He's the one that's accusing the president of playing class warfare, and we just heard that clip, that he doesn't care about 47% of us because it's not his job, because we're all living off the government and we don't... What was the rest of it, Chris? I'm even forgetting. It got worse, everything he said. He said, oh, it's not my responsibility to care about them if they don't care for themselves and their own lives. Like, really? You're accusing half of the American public of being... You know, victim losers.
Basically, children.
Right. Yeah.
And these are the same people they say, well, half the population doesn't pay taxes. Well, of those half, 44% are retirees that don't have to pay taxes.
Right.
And 33% of those people are people that don't have jobs and don't have enough to even pay any taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the problem. The problem is that the 99%, whatever you want to call it, the middle class, doesn't have any money because no one is taking care of their needs, providing any kind of assistance when they need it.
Right. Well, and
yes, but that'd be socialism.
Right, but then more to the point...
I call it being an American, that's what I call it.
But I mean, more to the point, a lot of people like Mitt Romney don't pay tax because there's so many loopholes for the top 1%.
It's like I said at one of my town halls, just because he paid, 13.9% of taxes and said, I did everything that was required of me legally. That's not the point. The point is, it's not right. It's not right for the country because we're all in this together. I was in an organization for 30 years called the U.S. Army in which we were a team. And if anybody decided they were going to do their own thing, they'd either be killed or they'd be sent to the wrong place, the wrong time. And where's the rest of the team? It's no I in team. And these people like Romney and like Cantor, they believe in only I, me, mine. It's all about them. It's about nobody else.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the debate so much.
Me too.
Between you and Eric Cantor.
Me too.
I feel like he may need Depends. I feel.
Who is this stinky peasant?
Now, and you're out tonight for a fundraiser.
I am. Yes.
Here in L.A.
Yes.
And our friend Madeline Stowe, who is a big supporter of yours, is going to be there. Who's been on the show as well.
Yes, and she may be in a filming conflict, but we'll see later. But she intended to, sure.
I'm in a nappy time conflict. I go to bed
at stupid o'clock.
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry, but
no, I understand.
Yeah, we get up at 3 a.m. So yeah.
We've got some. I think Congresswoman. Gosh, Bash, I think is going to be there. Is it Bash? Is it Bash or I don't know my.
Yeah, we'll
outside.
Find out.
She's
yeah.
a local. She's a California congresswoman. Okay. I'm not going to be there. Okay. I just found out last night she's going to be there.
Karen Bass.
Beth, that's terrific.
I was close.
She's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be there, and some other celebs and just people that are interested in hearing who the person is going to defeat Eric Cantor. And I'm glad to give him the good news.
Yeah, there you go. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with more with the person that's going to beat Eric Cantor. That's Colonel Wayne Powell over there as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Ain't that America, home of the free,
yeah. Oh, yeah. 22
Little
minutes
pink houses for 53%.
Yeah. That's America if Colonel Wayne Powell defeats Eric Cantor, which he will in the election. Out here for a fundraiser in Los Angeles tonight. And debating Eric Cantor October 1st. Yay.
That's right.
And is it only one that he's agreed to? Or
I've actually sent him three letters. I'm also a constituent, by the way, since I live in the 7th. I sent him three letters requesting three debates.
Right.
He accepted this one, not my offer, but the Chamber of Commerce, because it is a closed venue, only for members of the chamber, regional and local and Virginia chamber. I've yet to receive a response to my letter, like many of his constituents. He never answers us. But this one, I will answer him on October 1st, and he'll know my name.
Yes.
He seems only concerned with his national profile rather than his profile in the 7th Congressional District.
And fundraising for all those corporations, as we know, are people, according to him and Mitt Romney. They're not people. They're not human beings. You can't tuck them in. You can't kiss them. Can't take them out to dinner.
Right.
And that's got to be overturned. And that's one of the things I wanted to do.
I love that part of Elizabeth Warren's speech, who was also pulled ahead in her race. But at the convention, I loved it about, corporations don't sing and dance and live and die and whatever, all the stuff she said. But it just was, I thought, so well put.
Yep.
All right. Oh, by the way, you didn't hear this one because you've been traveling. This was the other thing that Romney said at the fundraiser behind closed doors.
Had he been born of Mexican parents, I'd have a better shot at winning this, but he was living in Mexico. They lived there for a number of years. And I say that jokingly, but it'd be helpful to be Latino.
Yeah.
I say that jokingly.
Yes. You said it would be helpful to be Latino.
Yeah. I mean, this is the way, obviously,
what
he talks behind closed doors. It's, chuckling about the brown people.
This is the real Mitt Romney.
Yeah, and then this is him trying to suck up to the Hispanics to get the vote.
The president never even offered up a bill. Like so many issues confronting our nation, when it comes to immigration, politics have been put ahead of people for far too long.
The Dream Act?
Yes, he's the one that's gone on record as saying he would veto the DREAM Act, that illegals should self-deport. We all know that the reason we don't have comprehensive immigration reform is Republicans, not the president.
And also, it's in Article 1. It's listed in the Constitution. Immigration is part of what the Congress is supposed to do.
That's right.
I love it when Eric Cantor comes up and says, well, where's the president? Where's the leadership? One time I was at an event, I said, why doesn't he look in the mirror?
Yeah.
And there is no leadership there, but his face might be there.
And then, meanwhile, did you see Paul Ryan said yesterday that Congress will fill in the details on their budget? Talk about leading from behind.
How about create a budget? I mean, this issue of not doing things, this has to stop. And one of the things I can say about myself, I've always done something. I might not always end up succeeding in what I do, but I always propose something. I always put ideas out. We always try to work on it. That's what our job is.
Yeah.
Yes, Paul you have a car elevator.
No, I don't. I have a car, but not a car loader.
Yeah, Paul Ryan says that President Mitt Romney would be leaning from behind, letting Congress fill in the details of his tax plan. He refused to say which specific tax loopholes would have to be closed to pay for Romney's budget plan. He was asked, is there a reason you guys aren't naming specific tax loopholes? He said, yes, because we want to get it done.
Huh?
That's crazy.
So we can't
crazy.
Tell you what we're going to do.
We're just going to get it done. We don't know what it is yet.
Wow. Right.
We're going to do it.
It.
It's the Stepford party with the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A new show.
Pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. All right. Let's see. Let's go to Queen Bee in Tennessee. You're on with Wayne Powell. Hey, Queen Bee. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. How is everybody?
Good. Hi, go Queen Bee. How are you?
Hello, sexy Chris.
Hello, Queen Bee.
You and the bee.
Isn't it sweet? Somebody needs to explain this to me. My husband and I live on Social Security. Mm-hmm. Now, we have $150 income every month that supplements that from an investment. At the end of the year, we get our tax papers. We run down to the tax man. That Social Security is added in as income, and we pay taxes on it. Tell me, who are these people who do not pay taxes?
Well, people like Mitt Romney.
Yeah, the people, the richest ones.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We were saying, Queen Bee, is this is ridiculous. We all pay payroll taxes. We pay sales taxes. You know, and you were breaking down, I mean, the people that don't.
Exactly. Right. These are the people like probably like you and your husband and many millions of others. And, of course, you have to look at where these numbers come from. I mean, the numbers are created by the talking heads who support the Republican Party. Now, maybe they don't pay as much taxes as maybe other parts of our society, like the middle class is really paying for everybody, especially the rich. But the bottom line is that people like you, I don't think, by and large, get the support that they should get from a government that cares for them. Our Constitution, if you look at the, if you reread the preamble, it says that, that in addition to we the people, which apparently has been forgotten along the way with the Republicans, it's supposed to the government, which is what the Constitution formulates, is supposed to take care of the well-being and the welfare of the people. This was very unique back in the 1700s that any constitutional document would say that. And the Republicans have forgotten. That's what it's all about. Yes, when you say take care of the people that are receiving Social Security, yes. Take care of the people that are disabled, yes. Take care of the kids that can't afford to eat at school, yes, yes, yes.
Hmm. You know the only reason I don't like you, Colonel, is that you get to spend more time with Mudcat Saunders than I do.
Well, if you have your sexy liberal tour in Richmond, you'll probably get to see him. Or Roanoke, you'll get to see him.
Roanoke, yeah.
I got family in Virginia, you know. I got my sister.
We should do it in Lynchburg, because that's
Lynchburg,
where you're...
Lynchburg, yeah. And I've got a niece in Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hope she's in the 7th and hope she votes for me.
Yeah, I'll make a note of it. Or it'll be an awfully awkward Christmas.
She can at least come over and we get a picture. We'll send it to you.
Okay,
there
good.
You go.
There you go. All right, Brenda in Columbus, you're on with Wayne Powell. Hi, Brenda.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, I've been listening, and I'll tell you, I've been listening so long, I've had so many points I wanted to interject about that now I'm just down to my main reason for calling. And that was, even though I have been listening, and Mitt Willard is just the special being that he is. However, I was wondering about all of those persons, $50,000 per plate in that room. They were so silent when he made that statement, his comments about the 47%.
Well, because they agree.
And then, though, so hilariously elated when he spoke about had he been born Mexican.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they were just like, oh, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because it's always been such a bonus to be, I mean, it really, you're right, the baseline of that joke is that, oh, don't brown people have it? Haven't they always historically had it so great in our country?
Exactly.
They're the entitled ones. It's hilarious. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Colonel Wayne Powell as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
has some crazy stuff built into her contract that kicks in now.
Like what?
Eye contact. Everyone must make eye contact with
Stephanie Miller
at all times.
Yes.
She also gets a producer credit.
What?
Oh, it's just a vanity credit, and I'm in a low-cost way to make someone feel more important.
I'm sorry, Colonel Powell. You were telling me how you like strong women during the break.
I think there's nothing sexier than a strong woman.
Why?
Because I would never, well, back when I was single, I would never date anybody that I didn't think was my equal. Or
I already met your wife out there, and she's awesome.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
Now you know.
Well, okay.
And
see,
you know.
That it takes a strong man.
And you're a lot like my wife. I mean, you're another strong woman.
Well, now.
So, there you go.
Could you two leave us alone?
My stars.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit. You are running against Eric Cantor, for those of you that just tuned in Virginia. Tell us about yourself. You said 30 years in the military.
Yes, I was born and raised in Highland Park, Churchill, in Richmond, Virginia, which is... the economically, I guess, least wealthiest part of the town, and And my parents taught me very basically hard work, education. Right. That's what I did. I went in the Army right after college. I was commissioned, but then I went to graduate school for another degree in Spanish. I was a Spanish-French major in college. And then I went in the Army, and I was in addition to being a crypto officer, like your colleague here, I was his father. I also spoke French and Spanish in the Army as an interpreter whenever needed. And that was part of my intel kind of training. And then I became a cryptologic, electronic warfare, counterintelligence, and then ultimately strategic intelligence for 30 years.
Wow. I'm not even smart enough to understand what you do.
this is after college and between law school and so forth.
Yeah, wow. I have to say, we've gotten, I would say, Chris, an inordinate amount of callers that, veterans, that are offended that Mitt Romney was for the Vietnam War and yet got a deferment to go to France.
They ought to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not tough duty, being a missionary in France.
Yeah. Live to the castle.
A chateau.
I understand they have indoor plumbing there and people don't shoot at you normally.
Right. Yeah.
Riding your bike down the street.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah. And what made you want to do this race? You obviously have this distinguished career. You don't need this.
I don't. Two things. The first thing was my son went to Iraq back in 06 and he came very close to being one of the casualties. And I knew that the Iraq war was never based on anything. I retired in 02. I was mobilized after 9/11. I don't know if I added that. But anyway, I was sent up as a commander to an anti-terrorist mission to D.C. for almost a year. And then I knew that Iraq was not a risk just based on my own knowledge of intelligence and world affairs. And then when President Bush made his stupid speech about we need to go in there, and then you get Condoleezza Rice talking about the smoking gun would be a mushroom cloud.
Right.
And I knew these people were simply crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, and then they sent my kid over there, my son, my flesh and blood.
Yeah.
I take that very personally. And so that plus the meltdown in 08, which, of course, Mr. Cantor had a lot to do with.
Right.
Right.
And the Republicans, in other words, freeing up the investment banks to simply rob us, steal, and then, of course, we let them get away with it and then gave them a reward for it. Those two things, and when 2010 came and the Democrats lost so badly, and by that time I've become much more dedicated to fighting those two things, fighting unnecessary wars.
That is stunning, isn't it, when you think about it on a financial level? And the president keeps making this point, but we just did that. And this is what lack of regulation and tax cuts for the rich, it just got us where we, I mean, the fact that anyone really could be running on that again.
Exactly.
Is fairly
just
stunning.
4 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize that people's memories are rather short, but I meet and have met people throughout the 7th District who are still suffering and still don't have a job and still are swimming in their mortgages. And this is where our government needs to go. And to be very honest, in the last 4 years, we haven't done enough. And I want to be one of those people to reform.
We talked about Virginia being one of the places where I think one of the main fronts in the war against women with the transvaginal probes that Governor McDonald, I mean, he was, obviously it's happening in a lot of states, but Virginia got a lot of attention. And speaking of being a strong enough man to like strong women, what are the women feeling in Virginia? Because I've been saying that I have never seen women so angry in my years in talking about politics.
Well, 68% of the people women polled in the in the poll back in June would support a candidate like me, would support me as against Eric Cantor because he is, of course, they call it pro-life. I'm pro-life, too. However, I'm more pro-women. I talked about strong women. Not only do I like strong women as a personal matter, but I think that I trust women. As a matter of fact, I trust women as much as I trust myself to be able to take care of their own health care and their own reproductive decisions. And government should not be involved with women's choice on how she wants to deal with her own reproductive abilities.
Well, I have to say, the Republican platform, Colonel, I honestly, politics aside, I don't get how you can be a father, a husband, a brother, and anything, and not be for abortion in cases of rape or incest. I don't understand how you possibly... You know, I mean, it's so extreme, isn't it? And Paul Ryan he wrote the, I mean, the Aiken, they talk about what are gaffes. Todd Aiken, what he said was not really a gaffe. It was their policy.
Yeah. And by the way, Eric Cantor co-sponsored 32 bills with Todd Aiken.
Yeah.
Something a lot of people don't know, but he's right there with Paul Ryan and Todd Aiken. These men all think the same thing. You know, keep the little woman under control, which means in every respect.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They want to destroy the economy, and they want to control women. They want to deprive other people, other groups, gays and other people, of equal rights. It doesn't make any sense, not in America.
And they're against birth control. If you're pro-life, I would think one of the things you would be for would be birth control, so that no one ever has to make that decision.
They want to control the process on both ends.
Right.
Yeah. They don't want the woman to be able to prevent pregnancy.
Right.
And then if she happens to get pregnancy and something happens and there's some risk to her health, they don't want her to be able to do anything about it. How cruel and inhuman can you be?
Yeah. No, I've said it over and over, but I have so many women friends that are like, I feel like I woke up in 1952. Like, what is happening? I mean, it just the fact that we're trying to having to relitigate all of these issues is...
It's been less than 100 years that women were even able to vote.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they would roll that back, too.
Believe me,
if Romney starts bleeding any more female voters.
There's no question about it. So as I tell people at some of my events, between the women vote and the gay vote, I've already won this election because I've got more than half the voters already. I'm serious when I say that.
Let's go to Chuck in Idaho. You're on with Wayne Powell. Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be happy and celebrating their gaffes and their mistakes, but we need to be looking at the past, the history of our elections. How many of our states, the swing states, still have machines that have no trail?
Yeah.
No way to calculate who won. And we know from history that the exit polls said in the past that we won, but when they tallied the votes, the other side won.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I mean, Wayne, are you concerned? Because obviously, as you've sort of alluded to, they obviously are losing on all the issues. So here we have different voter suppression techniques in every state.
This is a very good point. Yeah. Aside from the voter suppression laws around the country, not so much in Virginia this time, but who knows what will happen next year. But in addition to that, I was at recently at one part of the 7th District where they were talking about they were going back to paper ballots, and they wanted to know that I have an opinion on that. Now, in my county, they're still using computers. So every individual jurisdiction appears to have a different rule in Virginia on how to vote. And I do think the federal government has a role in making sure that everybody's vote is counted and is counted correctly, because I can see there could be some abuses. I'm not alleging anything about anybody, but some of these extremists, especially on the right, are so determined that they give Mitt Romney the edge and any Republican the edge, like the man in Pennsylvania who said...
They say it.
The Secretary of State or something in Pennsylvania who said, now we made sure we changed these rules to make sure that Mitt Romney wins. I mean, this is un-American. This is like a third world country or worse.
When you think about how many people have died in the military for us to have this right to vote.
Believe me, my son and others have witnessed this in these wars over the last more than a decade. I mean, believe it or not, are we a country at war? Do people really act like they're at war? No. And I see, I talk to my son on Skype, I hear stories about what's happening over there. You know, the 1% that we should be caring about in this country is the 1% that's defending their orders and this country and their values every day of the week. Mitt Romney, Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan do not defend this country in any way. My son, his colleagues, his comrades, that's why I don't use colonel, because my service is no better or more dedicated than any of the young people over there, the E1s and E2s that are dying by the day, the ones that are committing suicide. For every person that dies in combat, 18 people, or I think 25 people, commit suicide. And Eric Cantor and Paul Ryan voted against providing suicide prevention training for these people. This is un-American.
What did you think of Mitt Romney making no mention of the troops?
This is consistent. This is not, and I heard the gentleman say gaffe. I mean, we may call it a gaffe. This is the way they, but this is what they believe. Their sense of entitlement and lack of responsibility, and they're divorcing themselves from the reality of the rest of this population. This is the way they are.
No mention of either war or the troop service.
Because it's irrelevant. He's not at war. He doesn't care about war. He doesn't care about my son or the rest of the young people and the not-so-young people over there risking their lives every day. He doesn't care about that. It's all about protecting the special interests, the greediest of our country, and that's why we have to take our country back at the ballot box in November.
Wayne, as a lawyer, the good news is we've been winning quite a few of these battles, voter suppression laws, right?
Well, at least the government is taking action. The federal government is filing suit, and I think that they should file suit in every state. Look, this is a problem that doesn't exist. Some kind of exhibition one time, and we had a voter, we had the election official there, and so I asked her. Of course, she knew who I was and didn't want to answer, but they were talking about the new laws and all the restrictions and the IDs and so forth. So I said, well, how many issues of voter fraud have there been in Virginia in the last 50 years? This is what it was. Number two.
Yes.
And these were incidents that were easily resolved. I mean, they're resolving a problem that does not exist.
Right. Yes, they have lots of solutions for problems that don't exist.
They don't exist. Like with women's issues.
Yeah.
I mean, why let women be free when you can put them, when you can repress them?
Yeah.
And suppress them.
Yeah. I mean,
that's their theory.
Well, I just think it's so outside the mainstream, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the...
It is. It is.
I mean, there's Bill Clinton speaking at the convention, and we all remember him saying abortion should be safe, rare, and legal. Nobody is for abortion, right?
Exactly.
But, I mean, I just think, the what do you call it, no rape or incest exceptions, right. I think that's just the American people are...
And what is the definition of forcible rape? So statutory rape, if you're a young girl who's raped at 13 and gets pregnant, well, I'm sorry, there's no exception. Just have the baby and enjoy raising this baby. Which, by the way, you can't get any benefits because they'll cut all your benefits as the child grows up. So what you've got is a party of small government that believes in big government and total control over one sex, over half of your population. Yeah. Now, how is that consistent with any American value that anybody knows about?
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Colonel Wayne Powell as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow, I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bachman, Janine Turner, Overdrive.
Yeah. Stephanie Miller Show listeners taking care of business, going and donating to Colonel Wayne Powell.
Yeah, Powell4VA.com.
Yeah, hello.
Well, thank you all.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Mama making some money for... we were saying there was a poll that showed 41% in Virginia wanted Eric Cantor, 43% wanted anybody but Cantor before you were even running.
The ABCs, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
and my name recognition
win.
Was very low when that all happened, about 17%.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's higher now because I've been to all the parades. I've had 9 town halls. And by the way, when I go to town halls, I actually go. Cantor, when he heard that we had town halls, he had town halls only. He sent a surrogate.
Oh, really? No,
that's known as a human being.
Meow. Okay. Yeah, you have lots of fans, including one on the phone right now. Somebody named Mudcat. Is that your actual name? Hi, Mudcat.
This is Stephanie Miller, lady and pretty woman on the TV show.
The sexy liberal comedy tour.
It's a surprise.
Diva
for you.
Herself.
Dave Mudcat
well,
Saunders.
I'll tell you this. I'm pulling for that Mr. Clean feller you got on TV there against Mr. Nasty.
I wish he wore a white T-shirt, don't you?
Let me tell you, he is Mr. Clean. But, you know, I just wanted to say something because this is, you know, the viewers out there and your people have been just so very, very wonderful. Wonderful to us, and
absolutely.
You see Wayne sitting there. It makes me extremely proud to see him sit there. But listen, what I've learned, from your program being on it regular, is you people, y'all like people to go up and hit you in the mouth. And I can tell you what, that guy sitting there, he's every bit as tough as he looks. And with everybody's help out there, we'll get Eric Cantor. We can whip him.
Yep.
And you know, toughness, you know, here we have a candidate, and so many of us in the Democratic Party are disillusioned because we don't, you know, we just seem to lack the courage to go up and hit people like Eric Cantor in the mouth. That guy sitting there will do it, and I promise all of y'all
that. Well, I got to ask you, you've been in the campaign business a long time. Have you ever seen anything like what's going on with the Romney campaign? I mean, this is going to have down ticket consequences. You can't tell me it's not.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities between the Romney campaign and our campaign. Romney's got a big, big problem. He's not a likable guy. And you could look at a class election in the third grade or a presidential election or a congressional race like we've got in the 7th district. And people vote for who they like. And Mitt Romney is just hard to like. In our case, Eric Cantor is impossible to like.
Well, and this was Romney on tape. You heard these comments right at the fundraiser.
Well,
he doesn't care about 40.
Absolutely ridiculous, and shows the elitism that right now is beginning to take over our country completely. It's been there forever. And, you know, Wayne, you know, represents the best of Jacksonian democracy, and that is standing up to that elitism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I got to say, that panic late-night press conference, all of it, is just, I've never seen a bigger disaster this, you know, and we're only in September, right?
Exactly, yep.
Well, it goes back to, I mean, it was like the Libyan comments. It was his tone. And
exactly.
You could hear as he was talking to those, contributors. It's his tone. His tone is wrong.
And I love that they've been saying, Wayne, all along, like, you know, he just needs to be himself. You know, he's so stiff. He's so awkward.
That is himself.
Yeah.
A patronizing jerk.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to take my boss man's time anymore. I'm going to zip on, but I'll talk to y'all on Thursday, guys.
You got it, my cat.
You guys don't party too much, my cat.
We're playing right now. We're throwing. We got us a horseshoe pit here. Stuff,
all right.
But we don't get to throw much. But we got a couple Yankees here that couldn't hit a barn with a horseshoe.
I think I know who they are.
All right.
Oh, I know exactly. Boss man, come home. Money tonight.
We'll be home tomorrow.
Virginia.
We got us back in L.A. We'll get him back safe. Yeah. Love you, Mud. Yeah. Talk to you Thursday.
Love y'all.
All right.
All right. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Palforva.com. That's our website.
Yep. Yeah.
Sometimes I get complaints like, don't call him Mud. I'm like, he calls himself Mud. I get letters from Julie every other day. Mud's having trouble making this email go. Can you call it?
Mr. Mud to you.
Yeah, exactly. I love him and people like you because this is what we need. Democrats with spine.
Yeah.
Democrats that are fighters.
Well, it's fighting for the truth. It's just telling the truth. As he said, the elitists.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, poor versus rich or elitist versus a regular person. It's our country was based on populism. Our country was based on we the people. There's no accident those are the first three words of the Constitution. But there's been a certain element and a certain segment of our society that has consistently fought that. And it's the privileged or those who think they're privileged, and it's the greediest, is those people who don't think that we should have those values. And that's what Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and Eric Cantor share. They believe that they're entitled. If you look at the last paragraph, I think it's paragraph 9 of Article 1 of the Constitution, it says, there shall be no noble designations granted to anybody in the United States. They think they're noble. Eric Cantor thinks he's Prince Eric. Mitt Romney thinks he's King Mitt.
Yep.
And neither one is a prince nor a king.
Yep.
They are regular people, and they need to be treated that way, and they need to lose their races.
Yep.
You say peasant food like it's a good thing.
I have a guess the quote for you. Who said, if you run naked around a tree at a speed of 185,999 miles a second, there's a distinct possibility of yourself. Or you can vote for Republicans to obtain the exact same effect.
Albert Einstein.
Oh, you got that right. You're not supposed to get that right.
That wasn't the empty chair at the Republican Convention. That was my guess. I'm sorry. I thought it was the empty chair.
That would be Romney's whole administration when it's just winging it.
The empty chair.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Empty brains, empty chairs. They all match. They're all consistent.
Exactly. What issues are you going to focus on, in the debate? I mean, obviously, they're going to ask pre-prepared questions.
Well, it's supposed to be about the economy, topics, economy and jobs, and so that's where generally it will be. And in my case, it'll be, as Mudcat mentioned, the economic fairness, which has left or is leaving the Republican Party, at least the men that we're running against, that I'm running against. And so it'll be about the fact that we need to reform the tax code, not simply raise taxes. It's always raising or lowering. And, of course, if you're like Eric Cantor, you've signed this pledge to Grover Norquist. And you know what? I've looked. His name is not in the Constitution.
No.
I believe the Constitution says many, many times that the Congress's job is to lay and collect taxes. So it's the right kind of taxes. It's simplifying the tax code. It's reforming the IRS. All these things that everybody talks about, but nobody does anything about.
Yeah.
Can you ask Aaron Cantor for us, agree with Mitt Romney that 47% of the American people are, you know, just blood-sucking ticks that we don't need to worry about?
And don't deserve any attention at all?
Something like that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get around there somewhere, but if I do, you'll hear it.
Yes, I'm sure we will.
I'm just spitballing, but I'll write it out for you.
My own limoncello.
What they're trying to do is to muddy the issue of the 1% and the 99%, to say that, well, half the people in the country don't do anything. And, you know, our half, you know, the half of people that do something, we're protecting you. It's a kind of a mind game, a propaganda game they play.
It is Powell4VA.com. It's up at StephanieMiller.com, too, if you want to give a couple of pennies to our good friend, Colonel Wayne Powell. Good luck, Wayne. Great to see you in person.
Great to see you, and I hope to see you again.
Yes. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.